there. Welcome to the Mind Ramp Podcast, where we explore how to flourish as we age. In this episode, I want to start a discussion about mysticism and why I think mysticism can play a practical role in cultivating well-being as we age. Now, I'm not a religious person, nor am I a deist. I don't believe in the existence of an omnipotent God who serves as a kind of autocrat of the universe. But I am drawn to mysticism, and I do believe that people have mystical experiences that have a profoundly positive impact on their lives. I do believe that there are mysteries that are beyond comprehension by the rational mind. There is a wisdom that can only be intuited or felt through direct experience. As the scholar and philosopher Ian McGilchrist says, quote, "The deepest question in all of philosophy, both the most important and the hardest to answer, is why there should be something rather than nothing." End quote. Indeed, why do things exist? Why has this something come into existence, and just what is it? This is a question that seems beyond the reach of science. McGilchrist goes further and asks, quote, "Why that something turns out to be complex and orderly, beautiful and creative, capable of life, feeling, and consciousness, rather than merely chaotic, sterile, and dead," end quote. Yeah. Why does existence seem to be organized and follow certain basic laws? Now, your reaction may be, who cares? Well, we care because the way we answer these questions shapes our thinking about the cosmos, about our role and purpose in life, about morality and ethics and the meaning of life and death. The way we think about the nature of the something rather than nothing that exists has a profound effect on our mental and emotional well-being. For centuries, the best thinkers in the world have tied themselves into conceptual knots trying to answer these questions. The rational mind is befuddled by the mysteries of existence, and opening up to a mystical kind of awareness might prove more fruitful and satisfying. So, I'd like to explore mysticism. What is mysticism? Alan Watts offers this definition. Mystical experiences, he says, quote, "are those peculiar states of consciousness in which the individual discovers himself to be one continuous process with God, or with the universe, with the ground of being, or whatever name he may use by cultural conditioning or personal preference for the ultimate and eternal reality." The definition offered by Watts highlights two important points about the mystical experience. First, the mystical experience almost always involves a sense of unity with that something rather than nothing, whatever it is. It offers a relief from loneliness and alienation and instills the comfort of belonging to something meaningful and purposeful. The second point is that we tend to describe the something rather than nothing in terms of our cultural conditioning and in accordance with the belief systems that we have embraced. Mystics visualize that grander than themselves entity in different ways. For many, God is the most convenient word to use. But Buddhists might prefer to express the idea as the void or Buddha. Taoism might prefer to say the Tao or the way. The point is that whatever people call the experience, it is a real experience that has profound and often lasting effects on them. It changes the way their minds work. Here's a quote from the great philosopher and psychologist William James in his book Varieties of Religious Experience, which was written in 1901. Now, in his own uniquely poetic way, James makes the same points about mystical experiences. James says, quote, "The overcoming of all the usual barriers between the individual and the absolute is the great mystical achievement. In mystic states, we both become one with the Absolute, and we become aware of our oneness. This is the everlasting and triumphant mystical tradition, hardly altered by differences in clime or creed. In Hinduism, in Neoplatonism, in Sufism, in Christian mysticism, in Whitmanism, as in the poet Walt Whitman, we find the same recurring note. So that there is about mystical utterances an eternal unanimity, which ought to make a critic stop and think, and which brings it about that the mystical classics have, as has been said, neither birthday nor native land, perpetually telling of the unity of man with God. Their speech antedates languages, and they do not grow old. End quote. In the 1960s, the Princeton philosopher Walter Stace wrote what some feel is the most definitive philosophical treatise on mystical experiences. Stace argued, like William James had before him, that mystical experiences have a, quote, common core of phenomenological features. In addition to the sense of unity, both James and Stace note that the mystical experience has a noetic quality. N-O-E-T-I-C, a noetic quality. The mystical experience is deeply profound and moving. However bizarre or otherworldly the experience may seem, it also feels truer and more real than anything that has previously been experienced. Ineffability is another characteristic identified by both James and Stace. The mystical experience, in large part because of this noetic quality, cannot be adequately explained using language. It is beyond words. Words are limited. Language can only describe a small subset of the entire vastness of experience. How can one adequately describe the feeling of unity with God or with the flow of consciousness? No, it's impossible. How can one describe the feeling of love for someone who has never fallen in love? How does one describe puberty and the rise of sexual feelings to someone who is yet to reach the age of maturity? It's impossible. It must be felt. It must be experienced firsthand. Stace also noted that mystical experiences are often paradoxical. In opening ourselves to unity with something greater than ourselves, we open our minds to conditions that go beyond logic and reason. We accept ambiguity, contradictions, and the coexistence of polar opposites. Anyone who has been following our discussion of the differences between left and right hemisphere ways of attending to reality will recognize that the mystical experience involves a release of left hemisphere constrictions, an adherence to logic, rationality, and literalism, and an acceptance of the right hemisphere's comfort with the way things are in all their glorious diversity and paradoxality. Part of the paradoxical nature of the mystical experience results from another of Stace's characteristics, the suspension of the normal rules of time and space. When in the mystical experience, the passage of time has little meaning, nor do the usual bounds of location and space. What are the boundaries of eternity and infinity? For that matter, what are the boundaries between self and other? Finally, Stace notes that in spite of all this paradox and suspension of normal reality, the mystical experience is almost always positive. The unity with the vital life force feels awesome. It might be a bit frightening or disconcerting at first, but ultimately, the mystical experience brings one a deep feeling of peace, comfort, and equanimity. The sense of positivity comes about, I believe, when the proper relationship of the two hemispheres of the brain is restored. The right hemisphere is put back in charge, and the left hemisphere resumes its proper role as a useful but limited servant. This analogy comes from Ian McGilchrist, who introduced his hemisphere hypothesis in his book, The Master and His Emissary. In short, his idea is that the right hemisphere is the benevolent master of the mind. The left hemisphere is the useful servant who, unfortunately, has decided to usurp the role of the right hemisphere and put himself in charge. The usurping left hemisphere, the conceptual mind, silences the input of the true master, and in the process causes the rise of all kinds of confusion, conflict, and suffering. Our rational, logical, language-oriented left hemisphere has taken charge of our minds and has suppressed the more holistic, intuitive, and mystical modes of perception used by the right hemisphere. The mystical experience reverses this relationship and puts the right hemisphere back in charge, where it belongs. And this unmuddles our mind, which feels great. So, to summarize, mystical experiences give us access to a certain kind of wisdom that is beyond the comprehension of our conceptual mind. The mystical experience is more of a feeling experience than a thinking experience. As such, it provides a route towards flourishing that is unavailable to our rational minds. We have to let go of rationality and open ourselves to ambiguity, paradox, and mystery. Following William James and James Stace, we can identify certain characteristics that are common to most, if not all, mystical experiences. There is a sense of unity with the grand something of existence. The unity brings with it a sense of meaning and purpose, a sense of profound belonging. Mystical experiences have a noetic quality. They feel deeply profound and meaningful. They give us intuitive access to a truth beyond any truth we have previously known. Mystical experiences are ineffable. They operate outside the realm of the rational mind. The feeling of profound insight that comes with a mystical experience is beyond words. They can't be described. The mystical experience is ineffable because it is paradoxical. The wisdom it imparts is ambiguous, fluid, seemingly contradictory, at times this, at times that, a unity of polar opposites. Mystical experiences share certain characteristics with the state of flow that I discussed in earlier podcasts, including the suspension of time and space. When in a state of flow, or mystical experience, time and space have no meaning. We have no sense of the passage of time, nor do we care about being anywhere other than where we are in the moment. So how can we get some of this mysticism? One way that has ancient antecedents and has become newly popular is through the use of psychedelics. I'll explore psychedelics and the mystical experience in a subsequent podcast. You know, if you're interested in examples of mystical experiences, listen to my podcast called Contours of Mystical Experience. All right, that's enough for now. Thanks for joining me. Until next time, live long and live well.